Okay, we're starting at the bottom of Yud, the Zayin Amud Bet, the Tudat. Gemara brings the pasuk, which is in reference to Chizkiyahu, Kavod Asubo Bemoto. That they did for him a kavod that in his time of his death. So what type of kavod is this? What did they do for him when he died? Lamesho Shivu Yeshiva Kibro. That they established a yeshiva on his keber, right on his grave. Pligi by Rav Natan v'Rabbanan. Chadam Ashlosha, Chadam Ashiva. One of them says they did it for 3 days. One says they did it for 7 days. And some say that they did it for 30 days. All these numbers are stages in Avelus. Right? The first 3 days, right? The Gemara differentiates between the first 3 days of Avelus, which are the intense part of Avelus, when there's no, you know, there's no shalom, there's no response, there's a time of chi, right? And there's the 7 days, which is the shiva, the shloshim. These are stages. So they put the yeshiva there for whatever duration that they felt appropriate. Now, why? That 36,000 people with their shoulders exposed, meaning that they had torn kriya. 36,000 people had torn kriya. Dibrei Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos points out, what did they get 36,000 for? They said because it says kavod asuzdo and lo begematria 36. So it says that they get 36,000 people that tore kriya over Chizkiyah HaMelech. And then Rabbi Nechemiah, hello, Pnei Achav Asuke. What type of kavod is this? It's not unique to Chizkiyah HaMelech. Even Achav got such a burial, got such a hesbei, because we know from the Gemara Megillah, Shasulo hesbei gadol, kimitzbei hadrimon ben tav rimon. And there the Gemara there darshan was hadrimon ben tramimon, and that's kimitzbei Achav ben Imri. Right, that the like misbeit of Achav ben Imri that was killed by Hadrimon ben Tavrimon. But you see there that they did a misbeit gadol for Achav. So what's unique? What kavod is this? Or unique kavod is this to Chizkiyahu? They did Achav as well. Ella sheinichu sefer Torah al mitato, that they placed the sefer Torah next to him on his, you know, deathbed, or on the bed that they were carrying him on. Vamru, and they said kayim ze mashakotu b'zeh, that he kept everything that's written in here. Right, so that they kept everything that's written in the Torah. Now, generally, we don't, this is a general principle, that we don't sit, and the Gemara brings this in other places, like Moed Kotan, that it's asur for a person to be on the same bed or the same location as a Sefer Torah. You know, you can't be, right, sitting, or can't be in the same makom or mechita as the Sefer Torah. When you're sitting, when you're laying down, right, it's inappropriate. It's not the proper kavod to Sefer Torah. How do they sleep? The Sefer Torah next to him. So you have to say, right, that you have to say, shiny Chizkiyahu. That's basically what you have to say. That he was a gadol in Torah Masim Tovim, so it was an exceptional case, meaning that this was Kavod HaTorah. And that in other cases, it's a bizayon HaTorah, when they place it, or you sit on a bed with the Torah, you lay down on a bed with the Torah. But here, this, when a person is such a representative, or a, he really represents what Torah is all about, then it's a Kavod HaTorah to place it on the mitah with him. So when it says, well, what type of kavod is this? Today, we also do this. And we also do this at times of Gemara. It's saying that we also put a Sefer Torah on there. So when it says, afuke mafkinan, right, we take it out, anuche lo manfinan, that we take out the Sefer Torah, but we don't place it on the mitzah itself. Meaning that we take the Sefer Torah to be malabe, the mace, but we don't place the Sefer Torah actually next to the mace.
That's right. You can't answer your previous question.
Right. Actually, they do place it on the mitzah today, still. Kayem lo amrita. What? Yeah, I don't know if he's not a tzaddik, but I'll see what they say. Maybe not. Maybe when he's not a tzaddik, because the Gemara says that we don't say kayem. We don't make that statement, kayem zeh, masha ketuv bazeh. We can't make that declaration about the Sefer Torah, that he kept everything that's written in the Torah. Now Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Barchana, Havazilna b'hadid Rabbi Yochanan n'mishel shmaito. I was running after Rabbi Yochanan, I wanted to ask him a shaila. Ki hava ayel the basic kisei. Or is either ki ayel, there's another girs in the shiltas of ki hava nofik, the basic kisei. He was going into the bathroom, coming out of the bathroom. V'avi'ina minei milta. And I asked him a question. Lo pashit lan, he did not answer the question. Adamashi yodei. Until he came out of the bathroom, washed his hands. Umanach tefillin. Then put on his tefillin. Umavarech. And made a bracha, and then v'hadar amalan. Then he answers the question. Now he says, what's the question?
The bracha was after.
For Asher Yitzhar, right. So it's up to, I assume that's for the Asher Yitzhar that he's making the bracha, not the Birka. Not the Birka. So, Adamashi Yodei, Manach Tzvilim Mevarech, they made a bracha, either that's with Asher Yitzhar, as you rightly pointed out, maybe he should have said Asher Yitzhar already, and that the other Rishonim say, or Achronim actually say that it's the bracha on the Tzvilim. V'hadu Amarlan, then he explained to us, Afilu Kayem Amrinan, Limeid Lo Amrinan. We even say Kayem. Right, we even say that kayim zeh, mashu ketuv bazeh, on people when we put the sefer Torah on the mitah. But limeid lo amrina, but we don't say that a person taught Torah, meaning that he was a great teacher in Israel. Vahamar mar, wait a minute, don't we have a principle that we established in the Gemara in Kiddushin? Godol limuda Torah, that the learning Torah is great. I mean, this is the question they asked. Remember, the question was, which is greater, limud or ma'aseh? So they gave this cryptic, ambiguous answer, which is, that learning is greater, because learning brings to action. Right, so now, based on this, Rashi concludes, the statement's ambiguous, you're going to see that the Rishonim learned it differently. The statement in Kiddushin, Rashi says, well, you see from there, Alma Ma'aseh Adif, that actually doing is greater. I mean, doing is greater than learning. So if you're willing to say Kayim, right, then why can't you say Limeid, that he learned, right? I mean, what's the... Mean that if you've already gone to the level of saying Kayim, then Limeid is what? Again, what's the, or again, if that's the case, what's the big deal about Chizkiyo? If we again do the same thing, meaning that we say, number one, we put the Sefer Torah there, and we say Kiyam Mashakayim is there, it means that we've included everything, that means what was unique or special about Chizkiyo? No, it sounds like a regular, right, burial to him. So that's where it says, Lakasha, how the Mikmar, how like Mure. There's a difference between learning and teaching. I mean that if you're learning for yourself, I mean that's what Rashi said. If you're learning for yourself, then ma'aseh is greater. But if you're teaching others, that's even greater than the ma'aseh. When you teach others to learn Torah, so that's what the meaning here. Hilchah limeid lo amrina. When we say limeid means to teach others, so that we don't say that's unique or saved for special occasions like Chizkiyahu HaMelech. So again, what we would do, or what is considered normal in a burial, is number one, we would put a Sefer Torah, according to this Lishna, put a Sefer Torah on the Mitzah. Number two, we would say Kiyem, Mashkotu Bazeh, but we would never say Limeid, that he taught Torah, I mean that we never look at someone as such a great teacher of Torah. And that was what's unique to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, as we know, right, that the Medrash says about Chizkiyahu HaMelech, right, that there wasn't, that he checked in all the Beit Midrashot, Midana, and Be'er-Sheva, right, and there wasn't a single child that didn't know, right, all the Sefer Torah, Seren Tumen Torah. So he taught Torah to an extent that wasn't unprecedented. And because of that, we say that limeid. But that's unique to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, you wouldn't say it by anywhere else. Now that's going to Rashi. Why? Because Rashi looks at the statement here of, Gadol limud Torah, shalimud mivele b'dei ma'aseh. That ambiguous statement, Rashi concludes from that, that the ma'aseh is greater. That's how Rashi reads the questioning of the Gemara is, well, if you're already going to say he did, then learning is a subset, or even lower than doing, and that's the question of the Gemara. Tosfos, on the other hand, says no. What do you mean? That the Rabbeinu Tam says that he thinks that statement of Gadol limud Torah shalimud mivele b'dei ma'aseh, the conclusion is the exact opposite. That the limud is greater than ma'aseh. Why? Because the limud brings to ma'aseh. I mean that ma'aseh is the, as Rashi looks at it, as limud is the means to get to the ma'aseh. That means that the ma'aseh is greater. And Rabbeinu Tam says no. The ikar is limud, because if you don't have the limud, you can't do the ma'aseh. That meaning that the limud is the power, or empowers you to do the ma'aseh, and therefore the limud is the ikar. So again, when we read it in Kiddushin, we pointed out how ambiguous it is, and here you see, Rashi learns that the ma'aseh is greater, and the Rabbeinu Tam wants to say the limud is greater. According to that, then, what's the question of the Gemara? Right, what does it mean? Oh, is the limud, the Gemara brings down this question, the limud is greater. So now he says, Zachi Perusho, just read you from the middle of the Tosa, Zamamar, she limud may be l'day ma'aseh. V'kemen sh'anu omrim kiyem, haryanu omrim shlamat. Right, if we say already that if he's Mekayim Torah, the only way he could be Mekayim Torah is if he learned. Right, so it's implicit. Right, implicit in the fact that you say Kiyayim means that he must have learned. If he learned already, then what's the point of saying that he did Kiyayim and not Limeid? Right, so the answer is, again, between Agmure and a Mi'kmar, the Mi'kmar versus Agmure. So he has the same conclusion, but he has this differently, he has to see the question formulated differently because of what he thinks is the Ikar. Now, the Shilkos has a totally different reading of the Gemara. If you look in the Shilkos, it's the end of the Tosfos, Hamamar Gadol Limud HaTorah. It's down towards, you know, where the Perek breaks over here, where the Perek breaks, right across the sentence says Rishultus Rebbe Achaygon. Lo Garcinan Kiyem Amrinan. He doesn't have this girta that we have. Al Kiyem Amrinan Lime Do Amrinan. El Garat. This is his girta. Listen to this. Umanoch Tfilin Vahad Armalan. And he put on tefillin, and then he told us. Interesting here that the word bracha is missing from it. Yeah, the word bracha is missing. Betula, and no more. Uparich Gemara. And the Gemara's question is like this. V'heyachava manach tefillin tchila. How did he put on tefillin first? Kodem she'omer lahem ha'shmaita. Before he taught them the Torah. Right, he taught them halacha. He put on tefillin first, which is a ma'aseh. Before doing limud ha'Torah to teach them the answer. V'alo limud gadol mi'ma'aseh. Isn't learning Torah greater than the ma'aseh putting on tefillin? U'mashani. Halamikmar, halagmure. That depends for what? Right? The limik lamar lenafshe, look at the exact opposite conclusion. Limik lenafshe, limud godol. When he's talking about an individual himself, learning is greater than the maaseh, because limud, gosh godol, shem levi lede maaseh, because that brings him to action. So he needs that limud to get to the action, therefore, for himself. Aval legmure, lacherim, lo'adif. But that case is not adif, because it doesn't enhance in any way his maaseh. Means that therefore to teach Torah, wait, you do the maaseh, then you'll teach Torah to others. That's why you put on the tefillin first. The Shulchan really rereads the whole Gemara. You have three different ways to approach this. Right, if three different ways that the Gemara three different ways that the Rishonim read the Gemara, and that brings you to three different conclusions about the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan believes that Limud is greater than Maaseh. That comes to the Limud HaTorah. Teaching Torah is greater than both, but Limud trumps Maaseh. Rashi on the hand learns Maaseh is greater than Limud. Again, only with personal Limud, but teaching is not. Rakai Cohen comes to a totally different conclusion. He says, yeah, yes, Limud is greater than Maaseh, but that personal limud is greater than maaseh. Teaching, that is below maaseh. The exact opposite conclusion of both Rashi and Tosfos. Just very interesting views in the Rishonim. Alright, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Mai Dechtiv. What does it mean in the Pasuk? Ashreichem Zorei Al Kol Mayim. Right, you should be praised, those that grow on all water. Mishalchei Regel Ashor V'Achamor, those that send out the shore and the chamor. The Kolo Sikva Torah, Ugmilut Chasadim, Zocher Nachalat Shnei Shvatim. That anybody who is Oseik in Torah and Gemilut Chasadim, he gets his Oseik to get the Nachalat Shnei Shvatim. What's that? Shnemar. Ashrechem Zorei. Ve'en Zriya Elet Staka. When talking about Zriya planting, that is Staka. Shnemar says in Oseya, Zer'u Lachem Lit Staka. Where there's no Vav in the Pasuk there, it's Kitzru Lefi Chasad. Right, so you see the term Zera and Kotzer, those terminologies are that Mashal was used by Chesed. So in the Pasuk here, when we bring down the Pasuk, Zor'ei, that means Zera, Mizroa, is referenced to Chesed and Staka. That's one. Ve'ei Ma'im el Torah, that Torah Ma'im the Torah, to Nemar, Hoi, you recognize this as this from Yishayahu, Tunhei, from a number of Torot, Hoi Kol Tamei, L'chul Ma'im. Right, so that anybody who's thirsty, go get water there, it's a reference to Torah. Right, anybody who wants to go to Torah, should go to Mayim. That's the Mashal of Torah to Mayim. V'zochel ha'nachla shnei shvatim. So what does that mean that he gets nachla to shvatim? V'zochel ha'kil'a ki yosef. He's zochel to the, I don't know, you hear, the kil'a is like a chupah. Right, some sort of nice thing. Zefiv, how do you know this? Because it says, ben parat yosef, banot tzada le'shur. Right, so here again, the pasuk over there says Al Komay Mishalchei Regel Hashur VaChamor. So they're playing on the word Shur, even though the word here Shur means a wall. Right, so nevertheless, it says Ben Parat Yosef, but no Tzada, the girls were climbing the wall that lay Shur to see him and to get him. That there was a bracha of marriage and of procreation that dealt with Yosef, and that if they play on the word Shur and Shur, you'll get the bracha of Yosef.
V'zochem. It's a Mishalchei Regel, walking.
Oh, the Shachay, Shalech Oto.
Tzada.
Over here means climbs, but yeah, same similar thing. Similar thing. That Tzad and Shalech, very good, are also parallel words. V'zochen ha'nachlat Yitzchar, and he also gets the nachlat Yitzchar, Shem Tichtiv, Yitzchar, Chamor Gorim. Right, that Yitzchar took the burden of the yoke, right, he bent down and took the yoke. So you get the bracha of Yitzchar over here, right, that sounds like what Chamor Gorim is Atir ben Nichsin, that he became wealthy, meaning that he carries the burden of the great wealth. Alright, so now again, the play, again, this last week's parsha. So, here again, they play on chamor and shur. Now, Gemara Zita Amre, Oivav Nochsim Lefanav Yosef, his enemies fall in front of him like Zef Dichtiv, right? Now, instead of using the bracha of Yaakov, they use the bracha of Moshe. Behem Amin Agach Yachtav, Ofte Ares, right? Yosef will use, right? That the carne Yosef will be used to gore, right? Ofte Ares, so there, we're talking about again. The carne of Chor Sharo Adar Lo, the play on shore, right? And then, Vizokhel, the Bin'at, the Yitzchar. And he gets to an intuition or intellect like Yitzchak did. Ubnei Yitzchak yodei binah. And the Beis says that Bnei Yitzchak were knowledgeable of binah. Right, it had intuition, the team, about times or setting the calendar, Ladat Ma'aseh Yisrael, to know what Yisrael should do. So again, that's a play on the word, right, play on the word chamor. Right, the B'nai Yisachar, the B'lach of Yisachar, chamor, is at the Yodea Bina. Alright, that's the end of the parak. Now, in the new parak is jumping off the previous parak. And as you remember what we said in the Gemara, it says the Gemara begins Ketzad. Right, Ketzad already implies that we know, we have knowledge about what you're about to speak about. Hey, but we just haven't got the details yet. So the mission begins Ketzad implies that we already saw it. The problem, or the same problem that Tosafot deals with, is why does it start with Regel? Alright, we start with Regel. Why is that? I mean, in terms of order, what does that have to do with the previous parak? Now, either you have two choices. Either you follow the same pattern as the previous parak, and you go in the same order, right, that the previous parak had it, or you do it the other way around. That you, whatever the last parak left off with, right, then you begin with. So Tosafot says that it doesn't really fit either way because of the mission. And Tosafot tries to squeeze in and says really that the chain and regular are a single unit, and then because of that they come out of one pasuk, and therefore once it dealt with chain and regular, and since it talked about regular last, then it begins with regular. So chain and regular are what we left off with, and then even though chain should then come first, but no, it goes with regular, which is the second thing mentioned. Okay, that's his little way of explaining what the continuation or how this flows out of the previous parak. Now you read this where it says ketzad a regular mi'edet. The Shaber B'derech, right, Hivucha, right, that the regel is normal to do damage in the way that it walks. Now there's a Maklokas in the Girsa here, because the Girsa is that Behema Mu'edet Alech Kedarka, right, Ule Shaber, that a Behema is Mu'edet to walk and do damage while it's walking, or Veha Behema, with above. What's the difference? The difference whether it's above or not depends on whether this is an explanation for the previous statement or is it a separate statement. You look at Tosos, there's a look at HaBehema Mu'edet, and that Tosos, Ita Garci HaBehema B'Vav, with the Vav. V'Hakim Perushom. This is how you explain the Mishnah then. Ketzer HaAdad Regel. How does Regel, what is the Mu'ad of Regel? The Shaver Derech Hulucha. So when you say, the whole question is, Ketzer Regel Mu'edet, the Shaver Derech Hulucha? Question mark. Right, so then we say, Perish Derech Hulucha Hi HaAdata. And when you walk, that's what creates the Ha'adah. Right, the chen sefer begabe shein, and also begabe shein. Right now, if you do it without, right, if you do it with a vav or without a vav, will make a difference whether the second statement is an independent statement, right, or is it an answer to the first question. Do we view it as a question? Case that a regel mu'edet l'shaber derech hulucha, and the answer is a vayim mu'edet l'hech derech darkal l'shaber. Or do we say no? Case that a regel mu'edet l'shaber. When is it mu'edet l'shaber? That's my answer. That is an additional answer that Behema also, when it's walking along, its natural way is to do damage. The question of whether there's two answers here or it's a single phrase will depend on when you put a vav or not. Now, the verse says, right, if it was kicking, or they were stones that were flying out from its feet, and it destroyed objects, kelim, mishalim chatzi nezek. That you pay chatzi nezek for different reasons here. If it's mivaeset, if it's kicking, that's a toldah of Karen, because that's not the normal way. And if it's notaz, tzrorot, mitazim, that's chatzi nezek, tzrorot. So for different reasons, but on both these instances, you only pay chatzi nezek. Now, darza, obviously, here it has to be a case where the tzrorot go into the chatzera nizak, it happens in the chatzera nizak, because regal is patur in shuter abim. Alright, darza al kli, vishavarto, right, he stomped on a kli and it broke it. Pinafala kli, and then it falls on an additional kli, vishavro, right, vishavro, and then it broke that additional kli. Ala rishon mishalek nezek shalem. On the first one he pays nezek shalem, because that's the regular, right, regel, that he pays nezek shalem. Bala choron mishalem chati nezek. On the second one he pays chati nezek, because that is the equivalent of sroros. And that the kli that he broke now breaks the second kli. If it breaks the second kli, then it becomes chatzi nezek tzvorot. Tosafot asks, what's the chiddush here at all? I mean, what would you think otherwise? Why would you think otherwise? Darsa, he's walking along, he breaks something. Of course, it's chatzi nezek shalem. So Tosafot says that the fact that he put so much enough power in it to break this kli, which then went ahead and broke a second kli, maybe that's already karen. Maybe that's already lo kedarka. The kamash shalom, that is so kedarka enough that when she breaks the kli and breaks that, it's enough power to break another kli. That is not shalom kedarka. Hadar nagolim mu'adim aleich kedarkan ulishaber. That Targolim, when they dance around, when they move around, then they break things, that's normal. Hayet alil kashur beraglav, if there's anything attached, like a string or something attached to his regel, v'sheh me'adeis, or was dancing, v'shaver tekelim, breaks kelim, v'shalem chatinezek. Then he pays chatinezek, the Gemara will deal with exactly what's transpiring here with this tarnagel. Right now, the Gemara says, Amrali Ravino the Rova, hainu regel, hainu behema. Again, when in the Mishnah, when we began the Mishnah, you have two statements of the Mishnah, it sounds like they say the exact same thing. Ketza regel mu'edah v'shaver, b'derach hilukah. Right, so then we said, if you phrase the question, is how is the regel moed al shaber? B'derek hilucha. That's one answer. Habehema moed al aleich k'derek al shaber. And then you have behema, which is also does damage while it's walking. What's the difference between behema and regel? That they do the exact same thing. They both walk. They both do damage while they are walking. Why did you differentiate between regel and behema? So it says, I'm like, tana abua, avot, v'tanani toldot. And it talks about the avot, and then it talks about the, right, avot. What's the avot? The av is regel mamash. Right, which is the actual leg doing stomping, and the toldot are anything that is done derech hilucha. I mean, that we've talked about that before. If it has a sack on its back, and its hair gets caught while it's walking, all these are toldot of regel. So it says first they mention the av, and then they mention the toldot. So elami atzah, if you're going to do that, seifa the tani ashein. What are you going to do with the next mishnah? The next mishnah says ashein mu'edet. Right, it says that the ashein is mu'edet, and then it says ha behema mu'edet. So listen to this. This is what next mishnah reads. Case that ashein mu'edet lecholat ra'uyla. So what told on chain is that? Why is perot birakot different than hara'uyla? Guess what? The definition of hara'uyla is perot birakot. There you can't say it's avot and toldot by chain. Now you can explain that differentiation in the next mishnah if this mishnah is avot and toldot. Right? So if you say, save it kind of shim wedet, behema wedet, my avot and my toldot, because there's no avot and toldot here, Abba. Abba gmardele de bidichuta. He answered him like jokingly. I solved the first mishnah. But Shani Chada, you solved the second mission. I mean, I took care of that first mission of regel. You take care of Shane. But time am I. So what's the real reason here? So I'm about Shitana Shane the Chaya, but Katani Shane the Behema. That the Shane in the next mission is really the first Shane is the Shane of a Chaya, non-domesticated animal, and the second one when it says Behema is Shane of a domesticated animal. So when it says Saka Daskamina, I would have thought Bishilach et Biro the. When it writes the word bi'iro in the Torah, that means behema in chayelo, because the targum of behema is bi'iro, which is interesting in itself, that the Torah used the Aramaic word bi'iro, which is the definition of behema, and not chaya. So I would thought this is unique, Shane is unique to behema, right? But chaya, not domesticated animals, that's not, right? That's not the case. Kamash malon, the chaya b'chalal behema. The chaya is a subcategory of behema, and that it will be chaya in chain of chaya, just like he's chaya in chain of behema. Where it says, "Ihochi mibayl mitnei mitnei bereisha." Ha, because why did, if that's the case, what's written in the pasuk? Biro, which is behema. So he first should have written behema, then written chain, which is chaya. Why does he put chaya first and then behema? Where it says, "No problem." Hai da achilei midrasha chavilei. Right, my answer is in many places. The one that comes out of the drasha is chavilei. Therefore, he put it first. Therefore, he remarks on Chaya first, and then on Behema. Or says, Yoch, if that's the case, Reishanami. Wait a minute, if that's the case, then why don't you do the same thing by Regel? By Regel, what do we say? Avot first, then Toladot. Avot are explicitly mentioned in the Torah, right? Toladot are not. So mention the Toladot first. Or says, Lutnei Hai, Dolok Tiva Bereisha. Or says, Hoch Hashka, they're not comparable. Hatam, Idivi, the Avot Ninhu. By Shane, they're both Avot. There's an Avot of, there's an Av of Shane by the Chayam, and Av of Shane Behema. So they're equal. They're on an equal plane. Therefore, then he brings the drusha one first. Hocha shovik av v'tani tolda. It doesn't make any sense. Meaning that even if it comes to drusha, you still want to give the av, right, which is the general category, before you give the toladot. Doesn't make sense to write the toladot and write the av. So even though they come from a drusha, still he wants the sequencing of the mishnah makes more sense if you put the av first, then the tolda. Right? Says yibay zema. I do the salik miregel potach beregel. Or the other possibility is because he left off with regel, I mean, that's the continuation from the previous parak, therefore the Mishnah begins with the word regel. Instead, it could have begun with the toldot of regel, but it left off with regel, so it deals with regel, which is the av first, and then it continues with the toldot. Right. Now, tarabonon. Behema mu'edet aleich kedarkal v'shaper. Right, the behema is mu'edet to walk and do damage along its way. Keitzad. Right, so what is, how does this work? How does this happen? Behema shenechtas alechater anizak. Behema that enters into the, right, the chater, the courtyard, the area, the property of the nizak, vezika bigufa, does damage with its body, derech hilucha, right, as it's walking, ovisara derech hilucha, with its hair as it's walking, but okev shalea, or with the saddle, on its back, ubishalif shaleh, or the load that is on it, ubaprumbiya shabitiha, right, or the bit that is in its mouth, ubzuk shabitavra, or the bell that is on it, vichamor vimaso, or a chamor carrying its burden. And why that's different, right? Why is there a shalif, which is carrying a burden, and a chamor? This is a differentiation. Someone points out that the chamor's burdens are not tied on as tightly. You know, you see that today. You see the Arabs in Sovavim, they just put two sacks on each side with the rope across. They don't really tie it down to the chamor, they just balance it on the back of the chamor. So there's other animals where they actually tie it, they load down onto the animal. So the Torah says that they're both. Maybe you would have thought by chamor, it's not considered part of him because it's not tied down. Much more that it is also part of derech hilucha. So then all these cases, mishalem, nezek shalem, because that's all the tolda of regel. These are all toldot of regel. Sumchus omer, so rote v'chazir she'en over v'aspa, these rocks that spin out when he's walking, that go flying out of his legs, and a chazir that was with its nose, was, burrowing into the garbage to get its food, and stuff flying out as he's digging in there, right? V'zik, mishalem, nezek shalem. Then he pays nezek shalem. Sumchus is of the belief that even by chazi nezek tzoros, you pay full nezek. As opposed to chamim, I believe it's chazi nezek. Sumchus believes it's nezek shalem. But it says, hizik, pshita. Of course it does damage. That's pashut. Ella, emahitiz vihizik. Not that he went and itself did the damage, but stuff was flying out, like tzoros, and he did damage. Mishalok nezek shalem. Tzoros, mandakar shmayu. How does sumchus all of a sudden show up in this Mishnah, on this Braisa, and all of a sudden talking about chazi nezek tzoros? Right, Tzoros were never mentioned in the mission. That all of a sudden, Sumchus is coming to address that issue. So, Chasuri Mechzura, the price is missing words in this. Ah, Chitani. Tzoros, Kuru Chayu, Chati Nezek. Tzoros that are spinning out normally, that's Chati Nezek. V'chazir Shayen, Ovir, V'bashpa, V'tiz, V'zik, Mashalim, Chati Nezek. Right, and also a pig that is burrowing or somehow, you know, pressing into the Ashpa and throwing stuff out, then he's also Chati Nezek, Tzoros. Sumchus omer, tzoros v'chazir, chazir, shayin over v'ashpa, v'itiz, v'zik, mashal, nezek shalem. And on that, Sumchus responds and says, no, you're really chayav, nezek shalem. Meaning that he believes by nezek tzoros, you're chayav, nezek shalem. And the Braisa brings it, that's the chamim, as the, before that is, that they're chayav, chazi, nezek. Now, the Gemara is going to address the issue of the Tanagol. Tanagol, 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 Right, they were flying from place to place, and they broke kelim, b'kanfehem, with their wings, mishalem nezek shalem. Because that's the goof of the tanagol itself that does the damage, and therefore they're going to pay nezek shalem. Beruach shikiban kanfehem. If it's the force, the wind, the air force that's created by the wing, the flapping of the wings, mishalem chati nezek. Then they only pay chati nezek. Simcha tomer nezek shalem. You pay full nezek. Now, tani yidach, we have another price that says, Tanagolim shayim edesim agave isa. The Tanagolim that were dancing on top of a isa, on top of some dough, v'algame peirot, and on top of fruit, v'tidfu, and they messed them up. They made them all dirty. O nikru, or they punched holes in them, right? They nikru with their chartum. Rashi says, by the way, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says beak. Nikru, they pecked at it with their beak, right? Mishalom nezek shalem. That's nezek shalem, they've done them with their body. Helu afarot zorot, by their dancing around, they beat up some dirt, dust, and rocks. Mishalom chatinezek. Then they say chatinezek, sumchus omer, nezek shalem. Again, nezek shalem. Tanya idoch. Right, again, another bright star. Tanya goshem efriach mi makom na makom. V'yatza ruach mi tachin kanapav. And the air came out of underneath it. V'shivra et hakelim. Broke the kelim, mishalom chatinezek. And they say chatinezek, samach the rabbanan. That bright is obviously like the rabbanan, because he's saying chatinezek, and not nezek shalem. Now, Amar Rava, Bishlam Sumchus, we can understand the position of Sumchus here, because Savar, Koko, Kzufo Dami. Very simple explanation. Right? The animal has a goof. If he dances with his goof, you pay Nezek Shalem. Now, the animal also has Koach. What's the Koach? If he flaps his wings and the wind does something, right? The air that comes out of there, pressure from that, breaks Kalim. Or he's walking, he kicks a rock, and that rock was flying. That's Koko, the animal. So if you believe Koko, Kigufo, right, any derivative action that comes out of this animal is equivalent to the animal doing itself, then you pay nezek shalem. So I can understand Sumchus's position. Ella Rabbanan, Ishu Gufo Dami, if you believe Koko Gugufo, Kule Nezek, by the Shem, like Sumchus, you should pay full amount. Be Lavka Gufo Dami, if it's not Gufo Dami, then Nezek, not the Holy Shem, you should pay nothing because it's Roma Belma. It's in a Koma. It's not his goof. The other Marabba, the Olam Kugufo Dami. Now, really, they believe it's Kugufo Dami, but Chatzin Nezek Tzoros, Hilk Chazin Gemirala. Should say Koko Kugufo, and he really probably should be Chayav Nezek Shalem, but that's a halacha of the Moshe Mitzinai that in cases of koach of an animal, we only make you pay Chatzin Nezek. And that's the principle of Chatzin Nezek Tzoros, that it is a right? A halacha of Moshe Sinai that says you pay a katan ezek, even though mamona wise you should pay the full amount. And a katan ezek throws, we saw before earlier in the first track, is mamon. It's a payment of mamon, it's not a knas. And that makes sense in the context if you believe he really is chayav for kula. And that the Torah was just said that there's a halacha of Moshe Sinai that you pay half. You pay half, it's still mamon. Anything that was a zav did it, it would be tamei. He pays nezek shalem. Kosher b'zav tahor b'zakim shalem chati nezek. Something that would be with a zav would be tahor, then you would pay chati nezek. Now, just the way the general principle lies out here is that a zav can make someone tamei if he touches them. If he directly makes contact with them, he makes them tamei. Right? On the other hand, if the zav throws something at somebody, they are not tamei. All right, so that's the principle that they're establishing here. The same thing, that if the goof of the animal does damage, then you pay nezek shalem. If the koach, something that is thrown away from the animal, does damage, that's chatin ezek. Throw rope, you pay chatin ezek. The principle is not a cloud, because there are things by a zav where he can shake things and move things, he'll make other people tamei. By an animal, might not be, okay, so the Gemara's gonna ask you a question. So Gemara says, Rava throws out the lishmina. Rava comes and teaches the din of throw rope. That's basically what comes out of here. That if it's gufo, it's nezek shalem. If it's koko, it's chatin ezek. That's the exact thing of it. So those Rava, a galam ushechet b'karon k'mashlan. That's exactly it. He's coming to teach us about a wagon, a zav sitting in a wagon that's being pulled, right, by some sort of animal that's pulling along a karon here. Now, what does that mean? Well, what happens when you have an agala that's pulled by a karon? That was zav tamei, right? If he's sitting on the wagon, right, and they're driving along, and the wagon goes over kelim. Right, and it crushes those kelim. Those kelim are, or it touches those kelim. Those kelim are tmeiim because of midrash hazav, right? Because of the zav. As we were saying before, that this idea that the zav is sitting on something or makes contact with it while it's sitting, right, that makes it tmei. So now the same thing over here. That chatin ezek throw rope. What would you think that the animal is pulling the wagon, right? So that it should be what? It should be chatin ezek throw rope. It should be derivative koach of the animal. No, we say no, because the wagon is attached to him, they become a single unit. And the Egel and the wagon now consider all his goof, and any damage that the wagon does now will be considered as a shalem or goof of the animal. Tanya Kabbat Sitzer Rovo, that we have a price that supports the Zinra, Behema Mu'edah Vashaber Vederech Lulucha, Kesa, Behema Shnechasad Achatzer Anizak Vezika Begufa, Derech Lulucha, Ubisara, Derech Lulucha, Ubisokev Shalea, Ubisalib Shalea, Kumbia Shabbia, Zub Shabbatavara, Chom Bimatalo, Bimatalo, these are all what we've done before, and now the additional item, and a cow, a calf that's pulling a wagon is all nezek shalem. Exactly what Rava suggests here, that the wagon is considered an extension of the animal, a goof of the animal. If it does damage, it will be considered like goof o, and you'll pay nezek shalem. They were pecking away at the string that was attached to a bucket of some sort. And the string breaks. And somehow the bucket breaks also by them cutting the string. Shalom nezek shalem. Then you pay nezek shalem because that's considered they did the goof the damage through their pecking away. They did the damage by rubber. Darzal kli v'lo shavarto. Right. What happens if the animal jumps on a kli and does not break it? V'nit galgal l'makom acher. And then it rolls down v'nishbar. And then it breaks. Okay. Mau butter mi karas linan v'gufei. Do we go after the original state, meaning that the animal is jumping on the clay or kicking the clay, and then it rolls away, so now it's going to be considered the goof of the animal? Oh, Dilma Buster Tover, Mama, do we go after when the actual item breaks? When the actual item breaks, right, it's away from the animal, it's his koach. So if he rolls the bucket, and that's what causes it to break. It's Roach in him. It says, if should lay me the rabble. We can answer this from Rabba. The Amar Rabba, Zarek, Slimi, Rosh Hagad. Someone throws off an item off the top of a roof. Ubacher b'shibro. On its way down, he takes a baseball bat and he hits the item and breaks it. But Ma'akel patur with a stick is patur. Why? They're merely manas viratavar. What's the end game for this thing that's thrown off the roof? It's going to break anyway. It's as if it's broken. It's the equivalent of being broken already. So when he hits it, he's hitting something that is already broken. So that he can't do. Same thing over here. Right? When the animal sends it off, right? When he sends it flying, it's a broken kli already. Because what's the end game for something that's thrown out? It's thrown out. It's going to break in the end. Right? So Mar says the Rabo pshitale, the Rava mibayilek. Right, so for Rabo it was pashut, but Rabo still had a question about this. Tosafot points out here that you have to make a differentiation between if, for instance, I throw the kli off the roof and then someone else comes and breaks it, that guy's patur because it was a kli broken. But if there's a kli on the ground and I throw a rock off the roof That rock's going to land on the kli, and then he goes and breaks the kli. He will be chayit in that case, because there we don't say monotova, right? And Tosfos says it's a svara pshuta to differentiate between those two cases. Because when the kli is in motion, right, then the koach that breaks the kli is already there. It's embedded in the kli. Therefore, if you come and break it, you're patur. On the other hand, if you throw a rock, the koach is in the rock, not in the kli. Therefore, if someone else comes and breaks the kli, you can't say mono tova tvira, that he broke a broken kli, because that's not broken yet. And first of all, also, you could deflect somehow the rock or take away that koach.
Let's say you have an object. Two people come with baseball bats, and they both swing at the object. One of them hits it first and breaks it. He's the one who broke it.
Right, okay, very good. Same type of idea. Very good, I agree. Same for us. Say, Tashma, Hidus, Enum Mu'ad. Dancing of Tarnagolim is not Mu'ad. Vishomrim, Harizim Mu'ad. Let me just say it is. Hidus, Zagadat. What do you mean, Hidus? Dancing, we say explicitly in our Mishnah that you're Mu'ad for dancing on a Kilim. El Alam, Hidus, Vihiti. It must be a case that it's dancing and kicking up dust. That's exactly what we do. So we go after the original dancing, and therefore it'll be gufo when you paint it as a chalem. Or if you say it goes after where the stuff lands, but the stuff lands, then what? It's a continental soros or something that's unusual. No, the mercy is bow. It can't be that case. It has to be a case where Haiti Soros and Pulta the Sumpas Rabbanic. It's not about Batami Kara, but our afterwards, right? But rather it has to do with Sumkos and the Rabboman. And they both agree here, it's a case of throwers that are spinning out. The question is, if he's a Mu'ad, according to the Sumkos, he's a Mu'ad for this, and therefore he pays Nezek Shalem, according to Chachamim, this is Chatzin Nezek Throwers. So the Machlokes between the two brightness, whether Hidus is Mu'ad or Hidus is Zeno Mu'ad, has to do with the fact that he holds like Sumkos for the Rabboman. Because you have Nezek Shalem or Chatzin Nezek. Nezek Shalem is Mu'ad, Chatzin Nezek is not Mu'ad. Okay, we'll stop over here.